Good morning, everybody. Nice to see you here. It's a little bit early in the morning, I think. Not so many people, so we can all could all sit around one round table. We actually have no round table. It's an octagon table, but it's used by the projector, so we are sitting here, okay? Yes. So far for the introduction, I think I will hand over the mic to the representatives of a derivative and for a short introduction, and then we keep on walking on the keep on talking on the following topics. If you want to see how to join the Gobi talk, it's written here. There you can see the instruction how you can join this the Gobi editor and edit your own ideas. If somebody would like to look on IRC channel Debian Auditorium, it would be helpful if there are questions from somewhere else. So I'm handing over the microphone to Moritz Mühlenhoff.
Hi, my name is Moritz Mühlenhoff. I think most of you know me. Being a Debian developer for a few years, during my regular work time, I worked for Univention, which I'm also representing as of today. Univention builds the Univention Corporate Server, a Debian-derived distribution targeted at mostly enterprise customers and predominantly in the German-speaking region. We have quite a large customer base inside Germany and also a fairly significant one in Switzerland and also a few customers in Austria. There are also a few customers outside of the German-speaking region, but it's only a few ones since a lot of the whole business being driven, like supporting Univention Corporate Server, is usually done by partner companies, and the whole network of partner companies is pretty sparse outside of Germany and Switzerland. Univention Corporate Server is a bit distinct in regard to many other Debian-derived distributions, as it's built on stable. We're not taking snapshots like other distributions, but instead we build on the latest Debian stable release. Our current version is still based on Lenny, and we're working towards a release built on Squeeze, which will be released at the end of this year. If you're wondering about the target audience, I think the majority of our customers use Univention Corporate Server to deploy workstations based with Windows, so that, of course, Zamba is one of the very important key factors of Univention Corporate Server and one of the unique features which basically is provided by Univention Corporate Server is tight LLAP integration of all the data. We have some fairly significant and really large installations, and I guess the overall figure in the base, in the installation base, is somewhere in the six digits figure.
Hello, I'm Emmett Hickory. I'm going to be speaking on behalf of Ubuntu, and I'm not going to go into long length about what that is.
I'm Michel Bokop, known as Mika. I'm here for the Grimmel project, a live system for system administrators and for people who want to rescue data. We are based on Debian Unstable and shipping a few extra packages, and that's about it.
Hello, I'm Intrigeri, speaking on behalf of Tails, the amnesic incognito live system, which purpose is to preserve your privacy and anonymity, mainly by forwarding every outgoing internet traffic you may generate through the Tor network. And second purpose is to leave no trace on the computer the user is using. So it's a live system that's built using the Debian Live toolkit, and it's based on Debian stable, and we try to stay the closest we can to Debian, which means improving Debian sometimes. Now 2 years old, and well, it's now quite well known and used in the among the people who use Tor. It's listed in the official Tor projects page, and we somehow know that one tail system is booted all around the world almost every minute. And that's all for now.
So, test. Speaker 2? It is on. Yes. Can you hear me? So, my name is Andreas Tille. I'm not speaking for derivative. I'm working in Debian for Debian Pure Blends. Specifically, my blend is Debian Med, and in principle, there should be somebody speaking for Debian Edu. We try to make sure that specific target groups inside Debian are served hopefully well, and this could be a preparation for a derivative, or it could be a reason not to derive from Debian because you could in principle do everything inside Debian. And so I'm always interested what can Debian make to be more flexible, to be more better usable for our users with specific needs. And so for, would like to learn how we can make also the work of the derivatives easier. So if you have some ideas what Debian can do better, please, I don't know if it makes sense to have a sequence, just say who wants to say something. Okay.
Well, I think from a distribution point of there's really not much to ask for. The release cycle is pretty nice, and 2 years suits us very well. Most of the problems we're having are rather direct upstream problems. There's no specific problems with regard to Debian that I'm aware of. Most of the problems we're running into is a lot in the X world, because if you want to provide, right now most of the customer base is targeted towards servers, so graphic adapter support doesn't matter very much. But since we also have a few areas where we are actually supposed to graphic drivers, especially when it comes to serving thin clients, the non-backportability of current XORG drivers is really one of the major problems. But this is, of course, nothing which is a problem which can be solved by Debian. So from a Debian perspective, I don't see any problem. It's all good.
The main thing that Debian could do for Ubuntu is continue maintaining all the software and being friendly to new people joining Debian from Ubuntu. Thank you for doing that now, and please keep it up. The other is that I hope more people can understand that Ubuntu is not monolithic. I often encounter some individual Debian maintainer saying, Ubuntu put this patch on my package, I don't like it. And in only one case was that actually me, but every time I hear that, I feel like I'm at fault. And I encourage to contact the person who made something. It's usually in a change log, and it can often be resolved relatively easily.
We are building Griml on Debian Unstable, so we don't depend on any release cycle. We need current software to rescue data. So we are pretty happy with overall what we get, and I didn't know a single item I should write under the question what Debian could do better for us. So we're happy.
Tails, what Tails could benefit from Debian more is mostly stuff that is specific to live systems. For example, it happened a few times that we prepared and shipped a new Tails release, and well, 2 days later, there was a Debian security announce about important serious security issues that were fixed in, say, IceWizzle, which is one of the most dangerous internet-facing applications we ship in Tails. And so at this time, well, we have been poking users to download new ISOs, and we should just start again and our release and test and publishing process and have users download yet another ISO. So one thing that could be really useful for us would be to be made aware, to have some way to be aware of security uploads that are being prepared, so that in such a situation we can wait 2 days and ship the new Ice Weasel inside our new Tails release.
Security team is answering now.
I think I can answer it, not in my position as working for Univention, but as someone who prepares security updates. The Mozilla updates are more or less scheduled monthly. And even though they don't announce it publicly, if you Google for the next, if you Google for the subsequent Firefox version, for example, so if there's Firefox 3.6.17, if you Google for 3.6.18, you will find some link in the Mozilla wiki, which sets the release date of the next security update. And since also these monthly updates are essentially always bundling security fixes, you can more or less estimate that 1 to 3 days after that, the Debian XUL runner update will take place.
It's okay, thanks. It's great to hear there is some kind of predictability for as far as Ice Weasel is concerned, but it also happened for, say, many libraries that Ice Weasel depends on, such as libtiff and the usual guilty ones, and also the kernel. So, well, probably we should discuss this outside of the roundtable. Just wanted to mention the issue we're facing. Thanks anyway.
So I try to summarize. We have the to-do list is for Debian is empty because of 3.3, and you have perhaps not. It's just not it's to-do list, but having a better communication channel. It's okay. Summarized. So the to-do list for Debian is basically done. This place, I'm very happy, and perhaps you can say something what you can do for Debian or what want you to do for Debian to make it even better.
Well, from the aspect what is currently being done, of course, one of the aspects is being in the case of financial support, like sponsoring DebConf, which is currently done, or like sponsoring the CeBIT booth each year, which gives Debian the possibility to present it at the CeBIT conference usually. From a code perspective, it's a bit the case that since we're only basing on the stable release of Debian and we try to be as close as possible, there's not that much really which needs to be flown back. If there's, for example, a significant change in the Debian infrastructure, like, for example, the move from USplash as the splash screen solution towards Plymouth, then we're rather adapting our own internal solutions rather than working around it. And since we're essentially building on a stable release, and since there's also an unsolvable lag until the next Univention corporate server release can be based on the next stable release, it's usually that up to that point, we're essentially basing ourselves on the first or second point release of each Debian release. So most of the more awkward bugs are already also fixed in Debian at that point. We made a complete rebuild of Squeeze from source, which resulted in only, I think, about 10 failed to build from source failures, which is remarkably good given that it's, I think, almost 15,000 packages. And I think we've sent patches for all of these, or almost all of these. Some of them are not quite clear where the result is. And I think some of these have also been released now as part of the second point release for Squeeze, and other patches are waiting. And in many cases where we are working very close with upstream, we're rather working directly with the upstream maintainers, or not channeling all the work through the Debian maintainers. because for some solutions, especially in the whole virtualization areas, we need to be quite close to the current upstream release, and if we are doing any patches in that regard, we rather send them directly to the upstream maintainers and bypass the Debian maintainers, as long as the Debian packaging is not concerned.
The answer we usually give to this question is, we have lots of users. I like to believe that we filter the input of these users and provide a source of informed bugs, new contributors, patches, whatnot. In practice, the value of this varies hugely depending on the package. For packages that are mostly the same, as long as we pay attention to it, it's useful. If it's a package that we neglect, then maybe it receives more complaints than help. And if it's a package we change a lot, maybe it receives misinformed patches or requests.
We have 8 developers, and we have 3 of them as DDs. 2 of them are Debian maintainers and in the new maintainer queue to become DDs. We have nowadays one developer which is not officially a Debian developer, but who does great work in the Satchel, one of our most important packages, because that's something we is very special for Grimr because it's our default interactive shell. And we are contributing to several important packages for us, like InitDramaFest tools, LiveBoot, stuff from the Debian Live team, full automated installation package. What we can do for Debian is QA in unstable, because we do run daily builds, so we catch errors pretty early, earlier than most users, and we try to report any bugs we find. So it's not also solved for us, but for the user, and maybe that's work that's not that obvious for many people, but that's something which is a very nice workflow for us. And we are working on contributing back a few Debian packages we built for ourselves. All the ones that are not Grimr specific already flew back. And we have Grimr Bootstrap and Grimr Satchel RC, which we try to incorporate in main Debian.
Well, our main participation in Debian as Tails is to bring quite a lot of non-tech savvy users who would probably not try Debian if it was not thanks to Tails to use Debian somehow. And our communication channels with users show that quite a lot of them install Debian as their main operating system afterward. Also, as a live system, our ISO images are allow to reproduce bugs quite easily. We just have to point a Debian package maintainer to a given ISO image, and it's really easy to reproduce a bug this way. We participate in the Debian Live Toolkit development a bit. We intend to do more on this side. And we are curious enough to start building Tails images based on the upcoming stable release quite early during the Debian release process. For example, we already started building images based on testing. So at least our build process is somehow some kind of automated test bed for the installation of a given set of packages with specific requirements and human testing afterwards.
Yes, there's some questions from the audience.
Oh, it's not working. Sorry.
It is working?
Oh, yes. Now, can you hear me?
Yes.
Thanks. Matthias Huber of Linux Magazine. I'd like to ask the Ubuntu representative. I'm sorry, I didn't get your name.
Emmett Hickory?
Emmett
Hickory?
Okay, Emmett Hickory, is that? Emmett, I'd like to know a bit more about what Ubuntu contributes back to Debian, because this has been a matter of dispute, how much you give back and in what ways. And you're doing a lot with Debian, and I think you have a lot of QA in place also. And is there a benefit for Debian?
So we have mostly the similar packages as Debian and some millions of users. And our support teams tend to report bugs into us, and our developers tend to review those and generate patches. Much of the time, those patches will be sent to Debian if they aren't Ubuntu specific. We encourage that because it makes our lives easier and improves the ecosystem in general. When we have new packages, we encourage all new packages to go through the Debian ITP process, and for people who want to work on new packages to be Debian maintainers or Debian developers to do that. We have trained many developers who are coming to free software and encountered Ubuntu, and as people become more proficient with deb format packages, they tend to say, well, I can do this in Debian. And we help people go across that and have tens of developers at least, including many that have very significant software stacks that they maintain in Debian or significant roles within the Debian project.
Thank you.
Yeah. I try to summarize. I think for those distributions which are company driven, we have to thank you for sponsoring DebConf and so on. This is one
company. I can't take that compliment because from my perspective, although we have a number of sponsors, 15 or 20, we are not so much driven by a company. Of our...
Yeah, no, I mean, Ubuntu is company-driven distribution.
I won't agree with that.
Okay, I try a different wording. I thank Univention and Ubuntu for sponsoring DebConf. It's okay?
Except that Ubuntu didn't. You should thank Canonical. Canonical does great work, and Canonical...
I'm very sorry. I thank Canonical.
Thank Univention and thank Univention. Canonical, but Ubuntu isn't funded well enough to have done that.
Yeah, whatever. I think you got the message. And the other thing what all these distributions are doing is bringing more users indirectly and partly also directly to Debian. This is also quite helpful, I think. And I think there was some sense in the next question what makes it easier for your distribution. It might be that we could do some perhaps relaxed NMU policy, because in all those derivatives are Debian developers, and if it makes more easy for you to build your distribution, if some patches get faster, so it might help in some respect. Do you agree, or have you other opinions? What? It's working?
Is it? Yeah, it's working. I think with regard to Univention Corporate Server, we don't really need a relaxed NMU policy because most of the stuff we want to address in unstable is usually getting accepted pretty quickly. I don't think there are any patches which would need to be NMU'd, since the maintainer usually uploaded them anyway, it fixed them. And for all the patches which affect the stable release, I don't think that a relaxed NMU policy would bypass the stable release managers, and I don't think that would be really nice.
In Ubuntu, we don't have a concept of maintainership of individual packages, and so everything's always an NMU. As we send patches to Debian, we tend to get them adopted fairly quickly currently. That seems to be working. I'm not sure that having us change packages deliberately because a patch worked in Ubuntu without having the review of the maintainer is better for either distribution.
For the packages in Griml, we try to run peer reviews. If anyone changes anything, another developer should double check it. And everything that's derived from Debian should go back to Debian, and we try to not NMU it unless the maintainer doesn't want to do the work. But the policy works fine the way it is right now, and it's not a big deal for us to solve the problems in Unstable.
Mm-hmm. As far as Tails is concerned, we have no upload right to the archive, so we mainly rely on friendly Debian developers who see what we do with a friendly eye, and so we're probably. The case did not happen that often that Redux and MU policy would have helped. Well,
yeah, you have no upload rights to the Debian archive, but do you know the path how it could work?
Sorry?
Do you know the path how it could work, how you could get upload rights to
Sure,
the
sure.
So, are you working on this?
Sure.
Okay.
We are.
That is. I think it's also quite good because by these derivatives, people. Have some stronger interest to get upload right, become developer, and some people just become Debian developers because they want to do this. And I actually also learned that from my Debian Mate project. I think if this Debian Mate project wouldn't exist, we would have 8 or 10 Debian developers less, because these people came to Debian to work on this biological and medical stuff, and this I think this is important and makes Debian stronger. So, any question from the auditorium? Feel free to ask. Are you running a derivative?
I'd just like to ask Moritz. At what point during the Debian release process do you start preparing a new Univention release?
Well, for the upcoming Squeeze release, we started the first initial rebuild as soon as Squeeze was released, and since then we've first made an effort to rebuild the package from scratch, and this took about a month, and so essentially one or few months after the next. I think the first work started a few weeks after the final Squeeze release.
Have you considered starting that process when the freeze happens?
Actually, some very initial drafting work happened, but usually, as with any company, you're always busy with other things also. So, in order to avoid additional overhead, because at that point at the very first initial stage of development, where you start by rebuilding all the Debian packages from scratch. There's not a lot of testing going on. If it boots, then it's okay. And all the later refinement, like does everything really work as expected, and are there no significant errors, and running all the test suites only happens at a far later stage. And so for that matter, it wouldn't really change much whether we'd start with a freezed version or with frozen version or with a released version.
Any other question? Perhaps there's a representative of the Debian Live team or the Live team itself. Could you raise? I just want to ask you if you could do something with because here's also a Live team building or they would have which has live images. Do you have some questions or no question? Okay, so.
I don't have really much to add, but we're working with Tails since a long time ago, and we always appreciate their great patches, so please keep doing it.
Okay. So, what I also learned, there was recently on the Debian Derivatives Exchange mailing list, it's called Debian Dex at list.debian.org, there was an announcement about new derivative, which is basically preparing the desktop for young children or for parents to make it as simple as possible. And I had the pleasure to say that in principle, there is in Debian something like this, like Debian Junior, and it was a little bit offhand, and I just gave the link to the this person that there is something he could revitalize inside Debian and to prepare everything what he can do. Perhaps this is also a good idea if you have some intent to support a specific user group, just do it inside Debian and just do the last final bit which makes your product. The relabeling is in principle the smallest change, what I would suggest, but it is always a good idea to talk to us first what we can do and if there is something preparation which can be helpful for you. So, do you have any other comments? Oh, Colin.
Hi, sorry. I'd just like to respond to the... I'm Colin Watson. I work for Ubuntu as well as on Debian. I'd just like to respond to the query from Linux Magazine there as well as to your question about sort of NMU policy and that sort of thing. I apologize for taking so long to reply, but it took the Debian BTS that long to answer my query. So Ubuntu a while back started user tagging everything we submit to Debian, partly in order that we could answer this kind of question with actual data rather than with guesswork. We have about almost 500 patches outstanding in the bug tracking system right now. The BTS is recording a further 1,600 resolved, and presumably there are rather more that have been archived at some point. I think that's a fairly decent rate of both patch flow and actually being applied in Debian. There are certainly cases where it would help if things moved more quickly, but I suspect that NMUing wouldn't necessarily be received well in all of those cases. I would say that it's very useful for derivatives to do that kind of user tagging so that we can actually have raw data that we can look at rather than having to just work purely qualitatively. So, sorry, not really a question, but I just wanted to respond.
No, there's no need for only question. Any other comments or questions? So it's
do you do something about accessibility, like testing, having an accessibility group to check that things are accessible to blind, deaf, etc. users?
We used to have a bunch of people using Grimmel for accessibility, the speak up stuff.
They still do, actually. I know some people who are using it.
Yeah. We have a problem from this perspective because we lack some hardware to test specific stuff. And whenever we call for testing and contributing back, we get close to zero return. So I think you're the one maintaining the ESP. Yeah, thanks for that. there's anything we could do to improve working together or testing or...
Maybe we just need... Hello? And maybe we just need some documentation so you can test yourself most
okay.
of the things, because
okay.
that's what I did for the installer, for instance.
Okay.
And maybe it's just about making sure that all derivatives know this kind of documentation and each and everyone can do their own testing.
Yeah, I'd appreciate it that if we could talk to each other. Yeah.
We're starting working for accessibility features in Tails recently. And there are already some options in Live Boot to enable such features that were mostly inherited from Casper, I think. And those don't seem to be working that that much nowadays, but for sure we'll fix that in Debian Live shortly. So every other Debian Live system will have clear guidelines to what packages shall be installed and what boot options shall be passed. Is there a Debian accessibility working group, actually?
Yes, there is, yes.
Perfect. So we'll have to talk to each other.
I think the Samuel and Mario Lang are the most active people there, but there are others as well.
Yes, and there is Mario Lang as well.
Yeah, Mario Lang. Mm-hmm. You and Mario. Mm-hmm. So, any other questions?
So my question is not only about the patches, how about the something that in your derivations but still not in Debian? Could you just fire some IFP in Debian bug tracing system so we know that it is able to patch in Debian? Just a suggestion.
Any comment?
So to restate the question to make sure I understand, you're asking that when we package something new in one of our derivatives, we always file an RFP in Debian for it?
That thing is able to package in Debian, but still missing Debian, and only in the derivations. I think it's possible to file an RFP bug, right?
It is possible. At least for Ubuntu, we found that for many of the packages that were only in Ubuntu, we had a very hard time finding anybody who would turn that into an IFP or want to be a maintainer. We have a list, and we could generate the set of RFP bugs if that's desired.
From a Debian perspective, it turned out to me that RFP bugs are, in most cases, not very helpful. Because if you don't find an ITP, then you don't get the package in. So the best idea is if you see that you need some package, just push it yourself to Debian. But because finally, it's you save some work afterwards if it's inside Debian. And I think you're mostly doing so.
At least for Ubuntu, we've switched so that almost all new packages go into Debian first because of that problem.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a further question, and while the mic is handed over, I will give another answer from another talk. Just be bold. If you need some package, do it yourself. Do an ITP instead of an RFP. Try it.
Yeah. I'm Stefano Rivera, also involved in Debian and Ubuntu. And I recall at UDS we had some conversation about filing request for adoptions rather than RFPs for packages that are in Ubuntu that we haven't gotten to Debian yet but really should have. That might be a reasonable approach for derivatives because the packaging is all there, just need someone to adopt it and maintain it in Debian.
In principle, this is the answer, I think. Yeah. Any other question? We have 5 minutes left, so everything is clear, everything's fine, and so we can proceed as before. We have a close to empty to-do list, and yeah, whatever. Some statements in the end. Or we just finish and
it's related to the question you asked about NMUs. Since we are build tails based on Debian stable, we are more interested in interested in what happens after the package has been fixed in unstable. For us, it's mainly that it flows to testing properly and someone can upload it and squeeze back ports currently. So the policy about uploading packages to backport was somehow clarified a few days ago at the backport buff, in particularly for packages that are installable from unstable or testing without rebuilding. It was made clear that it was possible and welcome to upload backports of these packages to the backports Debian service in case there is some kind of user base who would benefit from it. not just only for your or my own convenience, but if there is some user base that would benefit from it. And my question is, do we consider Debian stable-based derivative to be valuable user base who would benefit from having the package installable from backports rather than doing what we do currently, which is adding the unstable sources to our apt configuration, which means shipping using having longer build time, larger indexes, and have the need to maintain pending configuration. And it's really annoying for us. I would be glad to hear some kind of yes as an answer to this question.
Well, I can't answer the question about backports. I admit I should have seen the backports buff, but I didn't. And in my opinion, it is quite a good chance to get a less weak system than unstable with the latest and greatest software, but I can't answer this question, so I'm not really competent.
I'm not sure if the rolling releases might help you in this case. Yeah. Aware of rolling? The rolling?
We have not decided yet if we're going to use rolling when it eventually happens to exist. I'm not sure. Currently, I quite like our stable-based builds, and building image from testing mainly to be ready when it's released as the new Debian release, so that we can ship. We shipped squeeze-based images early in April this year, for example. And also to help Debian and to help the release process to go on, but probably we using rolling as a basis for Tails would be a bit too much overhead for us. Do you consider using rolling for Gremel?
I'm not sure yet. depends how the software we depend on. Can be considered as fresh enough, and I'm looking forward to see it in reality and give it a try, but I'm not sure either.
Our main, we didn't discuss it that much yet, so I'm going to try to talk for myself. My main interest in using rolling as a basis for Tails would be better new hardware support, mainly for Xorg, but it was already mentioned for Univention.
Yeah. So I think this is the last question because we have to finish somehow, but I would like to hear Colin first. Yeah. Yeah, give comments, Colin, perfectly.
From the other perspective, given that Ubuntu normally works from unstable, but what we've done in the past is when we're preparing a long-term support release, we have sometimes merged from testing rather than from unstable, and that's sort of the other perspective. And that's we're still discussing whether we're going to do that in the future. It's had its ups and its downs.
So we need to stop here now because the video team told us not to talk over 45 minutes. Time's left, and I would really like to invite you to look at the next talk of the DPL. Was exactly about this topic, what are his ideas and or ideas of other Debian people, how we can enhance everything in the relations of to the derivatives. Thank you for attending.
Thank you for organizing it.
Yeah. Right.